This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've talked about retirement a few times on 1A, and there's a topic that always comes up.
Hi, my name is Joe in Massachusetts. I'm age 64, eligible for Medicare in a year.
Hi, I'm calling about Medicare. I have questions regarding Medicare.
Hey, this is Peggy in Jordan, Minnesota, and I have some questions about the Medicare Advantage plan.
Questions about managing health care as a senior flooded our inbox. And it's no wonder. Medicare is complicated. Nearly 67 million people use some form of the federal government's health insurance program. It's for those over 65 and younger people with some disabilities. But entangling the multiple parts of Medicare can be a headache. And then there's Medicare Advantage.
Hi, William Shatner here with an important message about your Medicare benefits.
George Foreman here to fight for you. And make sure you're getting a Medicare Advantage plan with all the benefits available to you.
Unlike traditional Medicare, which is provided by the government, Medicare Advantage is a privatized insurance plan. With the help of some star-studded commercials, it's become increasingly popular, but it's also controversial. According to a 2023 study from Brown University School of Public Health, nearly half of those who signed up for Medicare Advantage left their plans after 5 years. So what should you know before enrolling? Today, we try to untangle Medicare, Medicare Advantage, and answer your questions about healthcare as a senior. I'm Jen White. You're listening to the 1A Podcast, where we get to the heart of the story. We meet our panel after the break.
Is it possible to engineer our way out of the climate crisis? Some entrepreneurs want to shoot particles into the stratosphere to combat global warming. Experts say regulations on this technology aren't keeping up. The world of solar geoengineering on the latest episode of The Sunday Story from NPR's Up First podcast.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Carvana, on a mission to make car buying more convenient and affordable than ever before. In minutes, you can browse thousands of options under $20,000. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today to get started.
Jasmine Morris here from the StoryCorps podcast. Our latest season is called My Way, stories of people who found a rhythm all their own and marched to it throughout their lives. Consequences and other people's opinions be damned. You won't believe the courage and audacity in these stories. Hear them on the StoryCorps podcast from NPR.
Let's meet our panel. Joining us in studio is Tricia Newman. She's the executive director of KFF's program on Medicare policy. KFF is a nonprofit organization that does research, journalism, and communications programs. Tricia, thanks for being here.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for having me.
Bob Herman is with us. He's a healthcare business reporter with STAT. That's a media outlet focused on health and medicine. Bob, welcome.
Hi, Jen. Happy to be here.
And Fred Riccardi is the president of the Medicare Rights Center. That's an advocacy and consumer organization. Fred, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Jen. Pleasure to be here.
So we got this email from Steve who says, can you address the issue of how confusing Medicare is to sign up for, especially the supplemental versus the Advantage plans? At a time when we should be easing off on our ability to understand complicated issues, understanding Medicare requires almost a university degree. So, Tricia, let's start with the basics. First, how and when do people enroll in Medicare?
Right. People do panic when they turn 65, but they do have several months before they turn 65 in order to sign up, and then they have time afterwards. So there is a period of time. It's a several month block of time. So it's not time to panic yet. And when they go on Medicare, they have decisions to make. Part A is automatic, mm-hmm. But when they turn 65 or they're turning 65, they should go on to SSA.gov, Social Security, and confirm they want Part A. Then there's the issue of, do they want Part B? And that depends on whether they're working or not. And more people are working beyond age 65. So people who are working who have coverage from their employer may decide to defer Part B. But if you don't have health insurance coverage and you turn 65, you do want to sign up for Part B because there is a penalty for people who delay signing up, and that penalty is a lifetime penalty. So that's real.
Let's pause there for a moment because we're going to break down sort of that alphabet soup of Medicare in
more
detail. But what is this penalty about if you don't enroll within that window of turning 65? Brad, go ahead.
You know, that's a great question because the decision that someone makes at age 65 can carry a lifetime penalty, and that penalty is 10% of the monthly Part B premium for every year that someone delays enrollment and doesn't have some other type of qualifying coverage. So for example, if someone misses 3 years of carrying Medicare Part B coverage, they would have a 30% penalty for the rest of their life. And unfortunately, this is a common problem that we hear every day on our helpline.
Okay, now let's get into that alphabet soup. So Tricia, if I understand it correctly, Part A is just sort of the basic
inpatient hospital, inpatient services like skilled nursing facility and some home health, which is not inpatient, but mostly it's inpatient hospital.
And then Part B?
That's outpatient services. That's physician, outpatient hospital, diagnostic tests, physician services. I think I said that already. That's mostly what Part B is.
And so that penalty that Fred is describing would be applied to the Part B coverage. Okay, we'll dig into Part C a bit deeper in a moment, but then what about Part D?
Right. That is the prescription drug benefit. So people do need to sign up for Part A, Part B, and ultimately Part D, which carries its own penalty for late enrollment.
And what does that penalty look like?
That looks very similar. It's not exactly the 10%. I think it's 12%, but that is also a lifetime penalty. So for people who don't have drug coverage from their employer after they become eligible for Medicare, that's when it's time to sign up for a Part D plan.
Now, I can hear, Fred, someone saying, look, I'm maybe getting close to 65, but I'm still going to be working. After I turn 65, do I need to sign up for this? Maybe I have health insurance through my employer. Why is this necessary now?
That's really important because there are some key things to know when approaching age 65. Unfortunately, the federal government doesn't send a clear notification or a warning letter that if someone doesn't enroll, they may have a lifetime penalty. But there are some exceptions, and one exception in some cases is whether or not someone is currently working, has active employment, and has health insurance through that job. Now, they can consider delaying enrolling into Medicare Part B, but let's say if they lose their job, which was a common occurrence after the COVID-19 pandemic, or they voluntarily retire, then they have a limited period of time to also enroll into Part B. That's an 8-month window, and it's called a special enrollment. But there's a separate process for enrolling into Part B. You have to enroll through Social Security. You have to obtain some forms from your employer. And unfortunately, we see quite a bit of misinformation from benefit administrators and employers because there's just so much confusion around how to enroll into Medicare, when to enroll into Medicare. But these are some key decisions with long-term consequences that are really crucial for people to make.
And part of what I'm hearing you all say as well is, Tricia, just because you take care of that Part A and think, okay, I'm all done, there are other steps you have to take, making sure you're signed up for Part B and Part D as well.
Absolutely. And as you said in sort of the lead-in, you sort of do need a PhD to figure all this out. And even people with PhDs are calling me all the time saying, this is so complicated. And I will say it didn't used to be so complicated. It used to be more straightforward when most people were on Social Security and Medicare was more automatic. But that is not the case today. And then there are all these other complicated questions that I know you want to talk about, which is, well, what about all the supplemental coverage
right. And
all the other plans?
Right. Well, before we get there, let's talk about Part C, which is an alternative option to traditional Medicare, and that's Medicare Advantage. Explain briefly what that is, Tricia.
These are plans operated by private insurers. They receive money from the federal government to provide Medicare-covered benefits. But these are mostly the big insurers like United Healthcare and Humana that are providing Medicare benefits through HMOs and PPOs across the country. And this marketplace has really taken off.
Well, Bob, why has Medicare Advantage become so popular? More than half of seniors were enrolled in this privatized option in 2023.
Yeah, we have reached a tipping point where most Medicare-eligible seniors are now in Medicare Advantage. And a big reason why is because a lot of these plans are offering and marketing certain benefits that traditional Medicare doesn't have. That includes $0 premiums for your Part B coverage, or gym memberships, or dental and vision coverage. Stuff that is very attractive for people who want those extra perks, but also for people who live on lower savings or lower income and find those savings very attractive.
But as we noted earlier, after 5 years, you're seeing lots of these people come off of Medicare Advantage, and we'll talk about some of the complications about that. Fred, briefly, which parts of Medicare are public versus private?
So beneficiaries have a choice between the traditional Medicare program, what we call Original Medicare, which is administered by the federal government. But then there are often other private options. One is Medicare Advantage, which is the private insurer that offers the hospital benefit, the outpatient benefit, and in most cases, prescription drug coverage. But then someone also has an option to have Original Medicare with just a standalone prescription drug plan. And when first eligible and only during, key periods can they enroll into a Medigap. And sadly, we often hear from people who were just unaware that they would be unable to pick up a supplemental plan, also called a Medigap, later in life. And, just today, heard somebody with a very serious illness that is trying to get into Medigap and most likely will not be able to.
Okay, if you think we're done explaining the basics of Medicare, think again. Stay with us as we continue to untangle healthcare as a senior. We'll be back with more from you and our guests in just a moment.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There is some truth in that.
There's some truth in that.
Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, I hear you have a birthday coming up. Yeah, you. If you're listening to this, that means you have a birthday coming up eventually. And here at Life Kit, we want it to be a special one.
Magic can happen and good luck can happen and serendipity can happen if we're open to it.
How to have a good birthday, even if you're not a birthday person. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
Do you ever wish you could get your stories in 3 hours rather than 3 minutes? Or maybe you're sick of doom scrolling, getting your news in bits and pieces. That is where Embedded comes in. We bring you documentary series that will change the way you think about things. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
On NPR's Throughline.
We cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's jump back to the conversation with this question from Peggy in Minnesota. It's about Medicare Advantage.
I have heard lots of sort of critiques of it in more grumbling kinds of terms without really feeling clear on what is being reproached about Medicare Advantage. I do have it. But I didn't feel like I would ever get a straight answer from the company that sold that coverage to me. So what is it that people do and do not like about Medicare Advantage? Really appreciate an objective critique of the program.
Peggy, thanks for that message. A report from KFF News, Health News found that some Americans regret signing up for Medicare Advantage. A study from Brown University School of Public Health found that nearly half of those who signed up for Medicare Advantage left their plans after 5 years. Tricia, what's going on?
Well, generally people are satisfied with Medicare. Let me just start with that, whether it's Medicare Advantage or traditional Medicare. But there are trade-offs for people who are choosing Medicare Advantage. I think the biggest draw are all the extra benefits. People love the idea of getting a good deal, and there are some extra benefits, some dental, some vision, gym memberships, and that has a lot to do with the current payment system, but we could talk about that later. The other draw is it's simpler in some ways than original Medicare because it's one-stop shopping. You don't need to buy a separate supplemental policy or a separate Part D plan. Those are very attractive features. But there are downsides. One downside is there are more hassles for patients and their doctors when they get sick and they need expensive services because there are prior authorization requirements that kick in. And while people might be able to jump through those hoops, there's a risk of denials. We found 32 million prior authorization requests in the last year we were able to look, of which 2 million were denied. So that's an issue for people. And a second concern that mainly affects people when they get sick is there's a restricted provider network, which means if you get really sick, if you get a rare form of cancer and you want to go to some doctor across the country who's a specialist, you may have to pay the full amount yourself or might have to pay extra depending on the type of plan you're in. And I think people don't really think much about that until they get sick, and then it's kind of too late.
Well, we got this email from Deb who says, when I had to apply for Medicare, I could not afford original Medicare, so I opted for and now have a Medicare Advantage plan. Now, 2 years later, I can afford the supplemental, but because of my pre-existing condition, it appears to be impossible to switch to an original Medicare plan. I'm terrified of losing everything if I need a serious medical procedure. The U.S. medical system is cruel and unusual. And by supplemental, Deb likely means Medigap, which we'll get to in a moment. But if someone wants to move from Medicare Advantage to traditional Medicare, how simple of a process is that?
Well, it is simple if you don't have a pre-existing condition. In most states in our country, Medigap insurers are permitted to deny someone coverage or charge them more if they have a pre-existing condition, unless they've signed up for Medigap when they've first gone on to Medicare. What that means is some people feel locked into a Medicare Advantage plan because they don't want to be in traditional Medicare or original Medicare, it's sometimes called, without supplemental coverage because traditional Medicare does not have an out-of-pocket limit, so they may feel more financially exposed if they can't get a supplement. Medigap is one of the few health products that are available in the country that actually still has a pre-existing condition exclusion. Mm-hmm. So that's something most people don't know about.
We got this from James, who says, I love the Medicare Rights Center. They helped me correct a mistake and avoid that Part B penalty. I hate Medicare Advantage. I wish we could ban all the ads for Medicare-related services and products covered by Medicare. Google ads around search results are even worse. And Fred, James there referencing your group. For people who are listening to us right now and saying, I still feel lost or overwhelmed. Where can they turn to for some guidance and support around making these decisions?
Well, I love that compliment. And they can turn to our national helpline, which is 1-800-333-4114. We also have a website, Medicare Interactive. And every county in the United States also has a state health insurance program where expert volunteer counselors can help people guide them through the Medicare maze. And also Medicare.gov has great information and 1-800-MEDICARE is available. And initially when I'm speaking to someone who's approaching Medicare, I like to have, you know, two points to share with them. One is, you know, to talk about a cost-benefit analysis of when they're deciding to enroll into original Medicare or Medicare Advantage, because one of the biggest complaints that we receive is just that people are inundated with digital marketing, with print mail, with TV ads, and they're so confused. But the other topic that I like to speak with people about, and it doesn't necessarily make me the most popular person at the party, is I really ask people to think into the future, not just the months ahead, but a decade, 2 decades from now. If you have a chronic condition, need more care, how comfortable are you with a limited network of providers if you're enrolled in a Medicare Advantage? And as Tricia had mentioned, if you do want to pick up a Medigap, do you have a pre-existing condition? Will you be able to? Will you have to pay more? It requires some serious thought.
Bob, you did a series of investigations with Stat News last year that found that health insurance companies, including United Health Group, that's the nation's largest insurance company, used algorithms to deny care to seniors on Medicare Advantage plans. Explain more about what you found.
Yeah, this ties in nicely with what Fred is just talking about, because you have to think about care you might need years down the road. And our investigation found that, in particular, United Health owns this company that was using an algorithm that was basically telling people how much rehab care that they could get in a nursing home. And when they reached that level of care, they were more or less forced out. Their time was up. Then they had a choice. They could either pay out of pocket or they could go home and still, you know, and these were very vulnerable people. These were people maybe broke a hip and, you know, they were needed physical therapy and all this other help to regain the function that they lost. So these insurers are using these algorithms to basically cut off the care and send them home. And insurance companies would do that because they save money. The less that they have to pay a nursing home is more money that they are able to keep. And so, again, that's the big trade-off down the road is your Medicare Advantage plan might seem real good right now because of the out-of-pocket limits and all the perks that come with it. But when you get really sick, when you get really hurt, and maybe your care is getting restricted, it just completely blindsided people and financially ruined a lot of people, too.
Well, your reporting caught the attention of lawmakers and led to a hearing on healthcare denials by Medicare Advantage.
Medicare Advantage insurers are required to provide beneficiaries with the same minimum level of coverage as traditional Medicare. And yet we've seen evidence indicating that in many instances, they are failing to do so. In fact, failing entirely because they are denying or delaying care. And tragically, we've heard from many families who face denials in the middle of major medical crises, forcing them and their loved ones to fight, even as they are fighting for their lives.
That was Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut speaking at a hearing examining healthcare denials and delays in Medicare Advantage. Bob, what's changed or what maybe hasn't changed since your reporting?
Well, I think the government is trying to rein in the use of algorithms as like this tool that can be, you know, crudely used to cut off someone's care. Insurers can still use them, but the government has been telling insurers you cannot use it as the sole basis for coverage determinations because, as was kind of recited in that clip you played, Medicare Advantage plans have to provide what Medicare by law offers. And if they are not providing someone care that is medically necessary, that goes against Medicare's laws. So Medicare is trying to really hammer home to these Medicare Advantage plans to stop relying on algorithms. And they're also going to be doing a lot more auditing of plans to make sure that they are, in fact, following those Medicare laws.
Fred, you mentioned considering the type of care you might need 10, 20 years down the line. That can be so hard to predict. What other questions should we ask ourselves when considering what plan to sign up for? Or if you're guiding someone through this process, maybe you're working with an elder in your life, what questions should you try to ask them?
Well, Jen, that's a great question. There is a dizzying array of private plans that are available on the Medicare market, whether someone is considering enrolling in a Medicare Advantage plan or enrolling in a Part D plan. And it's important that people look beyond the monthly premium, but also at the coverage rules. Say, for example, in Part D, someone may have up to 15, 20 plans available in their area, and every plan may have a different premium, also different coverage rules, what drugs are covered on the formulary. Each drug may have a different cost across plans. Someone could be looking at plans offered from the same insurer, and the same drug may carry a different price. And on top of that, there are additional restrictions that someone needs to look at. Will someone be required to take another drug before that drug is approved? Are there quantity limits, et cetera? And so fortunately, the Inflation Reduction Act is making Part D more affordable for seniors. Next year, there will finally be an out-of-pocket cap of $2,000 on an individual's drug costs. And I know people who are taking very expensive drugs, have chronic conditions, will really benefit from that.
Let's head to a quick break here. We'll be back with more from you and our guests in just a moment.
These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to the conversation with this message we got from one of you who asks, could your guests talk about the available options regarding how to choose a plan, depending on how much self-advocacy you're expected to be able to do? What are the features we should look for in the different plans? And I think this is really an interesting sort of forward-looking conversation. If you're expecting to have to advocate for yourself, what questions should you ask as you're signing up for a plan, Tricia?
That is a great question. So when I think about this, I think about, well, what are the characteristics of the Medicare population and how many people are in relatively poor health? How many people have a cognitive impairment? So nearly one in five people on Medicare has a cognitive impairment. And so I think the thing to think about is how do you plan to make these decisions as you grow older, if you should be unfortunate enough to get sick, if you should develop a cognitive impairment. The issues around Medicare Advantage and Part D plans is that they change every year. And not only do the plans change, but people's needs change. So you might develop an illness and need to see a certain type of specialist. Your drug needs might change, which really requires checking your plan each year to see how it changes and whether or not there's a better solution out there to meet your individual needs. This is very important to avoid disruptions in care, which can happen with Medicare Advantage. And it's very important for making sure that you can continue to get the drugs that your doctor prescribes in a standalone drug plan if you have traditional Medicare or if you're in a Medicare Advantage plan. I almost think it requires, you know, you set your calendar, put something on your calendar so you remember to check every year, and have a buddy who will make sure that you do this if you should happen to become unable to do it for yourself at some point in your future.
Well, you mentioned drug prices, and we're getting lots of questions about that. The Inflation Reduction Act includes provisions that lower drug prices for those on Medicare. Bob, explain those changes.
Yeah, Fred mentioned some of them earlier. Starting next year, and this is the one that's I think consumers and seniors out there will feel the most, is starting next year, there is an out-of-pocket cap on how much someone will have to pay for their drugs, and it's $2,000 next year. There is one this year, but it's a little bit higher. On the back end, the federal government will also start being able to negotiate drug prices, starting with 10. In future years, it will gradually get to be more, but the one that consumers will feel most is that out-of-pocket cap.
And what's the state of those negotiations, Bob?
Well, the federal government is still, they've targeted 10 drugs. It's a very small slice of what they're able to negotiate, and they basically will go to the drug manufacturers and say, we will pay this amount if you don't want to. You could be hit with a penalty. So there's a large incentive for drug manufacturers to play ball a little bit. But again, the scope of the negotiations is still down the road. And there's some lawsuits still surrounding this because drug companies have not been receptive to wanting to negotiate with the federal government. So we're still kind of waiting on some of that to unfold as well.
Well, we got this email from Gail, who says the main problem with Medicare and Medicare Advantage is the high copayment cost for many drugs, especially non-insulin diabetes drugs. I have to take Ozempic, and the cost puts me in the coverage gap by April. My copay is then at least $300 per month. Fred, if there are people who are struggling to pay for drugs that they need, what options do they have?
Well, fortunately,
This year, there is immediate relief for someone in that situation. As you know, I was anxiously awaiting 2024 because we do have a number of clients that we've helped who take very expensive drugs. And this year, after you know paying a certain amount out of pocket generally, there will be no cost sharing for an expensive drug. The average is difficult. It could be you know around $3,000 or a bit more. And then there will be no copays. And that's because the Inflation Reduction Act eliminated a 5% cost sharing during a catastrophic coverage phase. So for someone who is taking a very expensive medication, whether that's Ozempic or an HIV drug, they should see some relief sometime this spring. And then next year, of course, more relief with the out-of-pocket cap. But in her circumstance, I would also make sure that she is aware of two benefits that are out there. One is called the extra help benefit. That is a federal subsidy that lowers the cost of prescription drugs. So a brand name drug could be as low as $11.20. The problem is the income limits and the asset limits are fairly strict. So we're looking at a couple living on $31,000 a year or a single person $23,000 a year. We do know that there are millions of people who are eligible for these programs and they're not enrolled. And some states are really stepping up and expanding their Medicare savings programs like New York, Maine, Massachusetts, and other states have eliminated asset tests too.
Trish, anything to add?
No, I would add one thing, which is that our polling has shown that most people, including people on Medicare, don't know about the changes that were in the Inflation Reduction Act, including this out-of-pocket limit that both Bob and Fred have talked about. So for someone, you know, I know someone who's taking a drug and paying more than $13,000 a year for cancer, that person this year would pay no more than about $3,400 for this very expensive drug. It's really life-changing. Half of all people on Medicare live on an income of less than $34,000 a year. And so for people who are living on modest means, that's per person, you know, $12,000 is just really not affordable. And that person would not necessarily be eligible for the benefits that Fred's talking about. So seeing these out-of-pocket costs limited starting this year is really an enormous benefit for the sickest people on Medicare who take the most expensive drugs.
Now, Bob, we are in an election year. Has either the presumptive Republican nominee, Donald Trump, or President Biden said anything about Medicare?
I mean, no politician in any form is saying they want to eliminate Medicare. And in fact, they continue to say they want to strengthen it to some degree. There's no real, like, I would say, tangible proposals to overhaul the Medicare program. In the past, Trump had mentioned, and this is popular among Republicans as well, turning it into a voucher system, which is more or less just kind of giving people an allotted amount of money to go buy their own Medicare plan on the private market, which is, there's some similarities to the Medicare Advantage plan already. But there's no, there's nothing major that would change the Medicare program in the interim. But of course, the Biden administration right now has made some changes to the Medicare Advantage program over the past 2 years that are significant from a taxpayer point of view, just trying to save some money because Medicare Advantage plans have cost taxpayers way more than they were billed as originally.
I think we can do a part two of this conversation because there's so much we just don't have time to get to. But one thing, Trisha, I'm thinking for people who have employer-provided health insurance and maybe approaching that 65 window and don't exactly know what's going to happen next, but presume their employer is going to, you know, kind of take care of it, do the transition. But what questions should they be asking their employer?
That is a great question. They should call their HR department, talk to someone in their HR department, find out if they're going to continue working. The employer, if it's a large employer, has to continue to offer them benefits. If they're in a smaller firm or self-employed, that's obviously a different issue. But it's really important to find out, are there benefits if I retire? What do they look like? What do I need to do? When do I need to do it? So it's not a big surprise. So people can plan as they turn 65 or they think about, you know, maybe I'm going to work a few more years. What do I need to do in the interim? It shouldn't be mystery. It shouldn't, you know, it does cause panic, but there are questions to ask that can make the process a little bit more, less anxiety provoking.
Okay, well, we'll have to revisit this conversation later on. Our thanks to our guests this hour. That's Tricia Newman, the Executive Director of KFF's Program on Medicare Policy, Bob Herman, a healthcare business reporter with STAT, and Fred Riccardi, the President of the Medicare Rights Center. That's an advocacy and consumer organization. Thanks to you all for helping us through this Medicare maze. Today's producer was Michelle Harvin. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk more soon. This is 1A.
I'm Rachel Martin. You probably know how interview podcasts with famous people usually go. There's a host, a guest, and a light Q&A. But on Wildcard, we have ripped up the typical script. It's a new podcast from NPR where I invite actors, artists, and comedians to play a game using a special deck of cards to talk about some of life's biggest questions. Listen to Wildcard wherever you get your podcasts, only from NPR.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
Okay, close your eyes for a second. Now imagine you're on your dream vacation. No work calls to answer, no text messages to respond to, just your suitcase and an opportunity.
The opportunity to just take yourself out of your routine and travel deeper.
How to actually take that dream trip. That's on the Life Kit podcast from NPR.